Most of us are trying to find more time every day to get things done. So you can't let trips to the post office slow you down. Now you don't have to, thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your own computer and printer. You'll never waste valuable time going to the post office again. Sign up for Stamps.com. Use the promo code REVEAL for this special offer. You'll get a 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in reveal. That's stamps.com and enter reveal.
These places are clever. They're alert. It's a big business, and they know how to work the system to stay in business.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. Before we get into today's show, we want to remind you that Reveal is about to go weekly on the air. If you've been following our show for a while, you know the kind of detailed storytelling we bring you every week on the podcast. Behind each story are reporters, editors, producers, engineers, and many others who work for months, sometimes years, to bring you stories you won't hear anywhere else. And we need your help. We're in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign to help fund our reporting and to give you even more stories in 2016. We have some pretty great rewards, many of them coming from the team behind Reveal, like a handmade Bluetooth-enabled radio, personalized voicemails from our sound designer, storytelling coaching from yours truly, and much, much more. Check us out on Kickstarter, and thanks for your support. So over the past few podcasts, we've been looking into a neurological rehab center that sits right on the side of a mountain in New Hampshire. The facility is called Lakeview, and it was supposed to help people with brain injuries and complicated severe disabilities. It was shut down this summer after being investigated for neglect, abuse, and even a patient death, which our partner, New Hampshire Public Radio, reported on extensively. But that wasn't the end of the story. We're going to bring in Reveal reporter Laura Starcheski, who has more on just how far-reaching this investigation goes. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Al.
So far, we focused on patients and their families. Now we're going to turn our attention to the people in charge.
Right. So there's basically this small group of companies across the U.S. in this neurological rehab business that all seem to share the same DNA. So they're all for-profit. They're privately owned by a tight circle of people, sometimes all members of the same family.
So literally, they share DNA.
Yeah. And what happens is that even if one of these rehab centers gets shut down, it often just pops back up with a different name. But it's the same owner, so they can weather scandal after scandal. And some of the lower level employees might get fired, but the people at the top stay in business.
And so how does this relate to Lakeview and the story we just heard?
Well, it's a long story. Technically, it all starts a century ago when a young lady moved from Newfoundland to Boston with a gold coin sewn into her frock. But for now, let's just go back to the 1980s.
All right, let's do it.
Back then, there was a facility on the same mountainside as Lakeview. It was the same buildings, the same business, but it had a different name, High Watch, and different owners, the Brennick family. High Watch was the blueprint for Lakeview, part of a chain where the Brennicks figured out how to make money by tapping into a new patient population. In the 1980s, about 90,000 people a year started surviving severe head trauma, a medical miracle and big news.
Gone are the skills and the self that these patients used to depend on. They must start over, learning again something as simple as how to focus your eyes.
These patients were mostly people who'd been in car accidents, but survived them because of better emergency medicine. They ended up with paralysis, memory problems, behavior issues, and needed a place to recover. A whole new healthcare niche was born, brain injury rehabs, including the Brennick's family business, Numedico, a national chain with more than 40 centers. The guy at the top was Charles Brennick.
Charles Brennick was a self-made man. I don't believe he graduated from high school.
John Kennedy, a former business reporter at the Boston Globe, wrote a profile detailing Brennick's colorful business style.
He owned a number of sort of conventional nursing homes.
A business Brennick had learned from his mother. She was the one who'd emigrated from Newfoundland with a gold coin sewn into her frock, as the story goes. She opened a few homes in Massachusetts, then Charles built the business up into a nursing home chain called Medico. But in the mid-70s, things went south.
He would lug briefcases full of money to Las Vegas, sometimes $1 million at a time, to try and gamble his way out of bankruptcy.
Brennick lost big. But after the bankruptcy, he reinvented the family business. He changed the name from Medico to New Medico and transformed his few dozen nursing homes into brain injury rehabs, which he marketed across the U.S.
Our dedication to a higher quality of life comes from a unique understanding and approach to head injury rehabilitation.
For brain injury rehab, New Medico charged 10 times as much as nursing home care typically cost. In 1989, the company reportedly grossed $750 million. They were seen as an industry leader, offering speech therapy, physical therapy, job training.
If you looked at what they were offering or listened or read about it, you know, it sounded like heaven. You know, it was wonderful.
Sue Bissett investigates nursing home fraud and abuse for the Department of Justice. Back then, she was an independent investigator, getting calls from people whose relatives were in New Medico facilities.
These families were rabid. I mean, I would have been.
One mother named Marianne Paraday called Sue. She said her daughter had been in a car accident and was in a vegetative state at a New Medico facility in Massachusetts.
They wouldn't bathe them kids. I went every day. We went and bathed our own daughter.
Marianne says her daughter had a feeding tube in her stomach that would routinely pop out.
I can't tell you how many times I went in there, and that feeding tube be laying on the floor, on the dirty floor.
Sue heard from a woman named Lucy Gwynn, an ad writer from Rochester. Lucy told Sue she'd been in a car crash and woke up 3 weeks later in a New Medico facility in Cortland, New York. This tape is from an oral history Lucy recorded before she died last year.
There was nothing medical. I never met a doctor. I never saw a nurse. I have been complaining that you say there's therapy here and there's no therapy. Where's the therapy? Where is it? I want some therapy.
Lucy said she wanted to go home, but the staff told her she could only be signed out by the person who'd signed her in, except they wouldn't tell her who that person was.
I couldn't communicate with anybody, but I couldn't have stamps. I couldn't use a telephone. You don't have any money in your account, dear.
After a few weeks, Lucy escaped from the New Medico facility. But before she did, she snuck into the front office and photocopied everything she could find. She hauled a trove of New Medico documents out with her, which she shared with Sue Bissett.
We had patient files. We had billing. We had the unpublished works of New Medico.
The unpublished works was a company manual.
How they did things, how they got patients. In and of itself, it seemed to me pretty incriminating.
A few of the company's tactics stood out to former Boston Globe reporter John Kennedy. For one, he says the company sent marketers into intensive care units.
Essentially, salespeople in the hospitals where people had been admitted for brain injury, trolling for new business.
Other New Medico staff then gathered information on a person's insurance coverage.
These facilities would figure out how much private insurance coverage you had. And then as soon as it was up, they would discharge you, not what we expect from an industry that sort of dresses itself up as medical professionals who would put care over anything else.
Brain injury rehab grew to be a $10 billion industry, a largely unregulated industry. But by the early 90s, complaints from families, state investigators, and whistleblowers pushed the federal government to act.
Some unscrupulous operators are defrauding insurance companies and ripping off Medicaid and Medicare.
New York Representative Ted Weiss chaired this 1992 congressional hearing.
Patients in these facilities receive substandard care while paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. These institutions receive scant attention from federal and state regulators.
Later that year, Sue Bissett was visited by two FBI agents who wanted copies of her NuMedico documents. And soon after that, she saw a picture in the paper.
People with FBI on their back in NuMedico's office with boxes in their hands, and they said they were taking their computers too. I was like, hurrah, you know, we're getting somewhere.
The FBI was investigating possible Medicaid fraud at NuMedico. The U.S. Attorney's Office was brought in, but after an intensive probe...
It's like a great big charge and then nothing.
Charles Brennick was never indicted. Federal investigators said they had considerable indication of fraud and abuse, but they couldn't prove that senior staff were involved. Reporter John Kennedy says the investigation and the congressional hearings took their toll on the company anyway.
NuMedico basically disappeared. To me, it was almost like his business was atomized.
Brennick gave up ownership of his facilities one by one, but many went to people who'd been his business partners for decades.
Many of the other players were friends or associates or even relatives. His sons became the listed operators of some of the facilities. So it was sort of this piece of Play-Doh that you would grab it and it would sort of reshape into something different. You know, it was kind of a brain teaser.
This brain teaser of shape-shifting companies was a hallmark of the nursing home industry, the Brennick family's roots, tight circles of interconnected people who helped each other make money. It was legal most of the time, but hard for regulators to trace. Kurt Decker is executive director of the National Disability Rights Network in Washington. He's watched Brennick-style businesses morph since the 1980s.
These places are clever. They're alert. It's a big business, and they know how to work the system to stay in business.
The National Disability Rights Network is authorized by Congress to inspect any facility that serves people with disabilities. Their investigations sometimes result in shutdowns, but that's rarely the end of the story.
We feel like we're in a game of whack-a-mole where, you know, we finally close a big facility like a Lakeview or one of the larger institutions and it just pops up somewhere else. The same people get recertified or change the name.
And they shift to serve different patients, depending on where the money is. The Brennick family started out in nursing homes, then turned those into brain injury rehabs, and now the family business has been reinvented a third time. Joe Brennick, Charles's son, took over his dad's NuMedico facility in Wauchula, Florida, back in 1992. It's now a rehab that caters to people with what their marketing materials call neurobehavioral problems. Besides brain-injured people, they treat a hodgepodge of patients, people with developmental disabilities, autism, mental illness, violent behavior. Joe christened it FINER, the Florida Institute for Neurologic Rehabilitation.
In a quarter mile, turn left.
I drove out to FINER this August. I'd arranged for a tour. It's a sprawling campus in the middle of nowhere in central Florida, on hundreds of acres of gator-infested swampland.
Turn right.
I'm like 2 miles back from the main road now.
When I walked into the lobby, the first person I met was Joe Brennick, Charles's son, an imposing guy in his 50s squeezed into a wooden chair by the entrance.
Hey, Joe. How
are
you?
Come on over and have a seat.
Sure. So I'm rolling tape. I usually just record everything.
Okay, well... What we're going to do is give you a tour.
Okay.
You can shut it off and let that sit here.
Can I record on the tour? Because it's really...
You can't do
that. What? How come?
Because you can't. We don't do that.
All right. So let me just turn this off.
The tour was about an hour long. First, I was led into a room with a few sets of patients and therapy aides vigorously performing exercises. Then I saw the living quarters. A few buildings had spacious lobbies with classical music piped in and sparkly chandeliers. Others were dingy cabins raised on stilts above the swamp water. When the tour ended, I sat down with Joe Brennick.
Hit me with a few questions. I hope they answered all your questions.
First, I brought up NuMedico, his dad's company, where Joe learned the family business. I asked him about the allegations of fraud and substandard care that led to its closing.
According to the congressional investigation, it was a systematic thing. It was designed in order to function that way.
No, not at all. Dad always cared about the quality of care. I mean, if it had a design, then there would have been some sort of, you know, law that was broken or something like that.
Charles Brennick died in 1997. He was never convicted of fraud. Joe Brennick has fought at least four lawsuits over patient deaths. In 2012, Allstate, the insurance company, accused Finer of warehousing patients who had generous insurance policies. Some of them cost Allstate over $1 million.
In the lawsuit, it was claimed that you guys weren't even doing rehab with those patients who were here for quite a few years.
Yeah, in a lawsuit, people accuse you of a lot of things that aren't true. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they settle things.
What do you say to families who need reassurance about you guys?
Come on down and tour. Look at your options. Go tour other facilities. See what they offer you. See if they're even willing to take you.
Other places might not be willing to take the kind of cases Finer takes, challenging patients with aggressive and violent behaviors.
That's our guy. That's who calls us up. You know, a lot of times, a client's tried out the 9 local little programs, and he's burnt every one of them. They won't let him back in.
And that's why Finer stays open as a place of last resort. I wondered how Joe felt about the recent closing of Lakeview in New Hampshire. After all, back when it was called High Watch, it was the crown jewel of the Brennick family business.
Very sorry to hear that. I mean, you just want it to somehow get going again.
The apple orchard, the million-dollar view up on the mountainside. Turns out it wasn't just a business to Joe.
That was my weekend house.
Really?
We converted it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I spent my childhood there. It's got a magnificent view. It's got big, beautiful buildings. And it should be put to use.
And then Joe pulled out his phone and pressed play.
My mother was a very good singer, so my father had her do a Christmas album.
He showed me the album cover, Christmas at High Watch. And then Joe got a faraway look on his face.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Despite its legal problems, Finer in Florida continues to take on the most challenging patients for a price. Meanwhile, a recent New Hampshire state report noted that in the wake of Lakeview's closing, patients from around the country are now ending up in nursing homes, psych wards, or prisons. Lakeview is still operating one facility in Wisconsin, which, by the way, is another of the Brennick family's former New Medico sites. For more on what you just heard, go to revealnews.org and check out our interactive timeline about the major players in this investigation. And if you have a minute, let us know what you think of the show. Leave a review on iTunes. It makes a big difference and helps new listeners find us. While you're there, you can also check out our archives, including more stories about Lakeview. Our show was edited by Deborah George and produced by Laura Starcheski in partnership with Jack Rodolico and New Hampshire Public Radio. We had additional editing help from Sarah Ashworth, Josh Rogers, and Amy Pyle. Julia B. Chan is our digital editor. Our lead sound designer and engineer is my man, Breezus, Mr. Jim Briggs. Krista Scharfenberg is head of studio. Suzanne Reber is our executive editor, and our executive producer is Kevin Sullivan. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.